This is WMUK. I'm Kara Lawrence.
Every point in my life, there's always something that's fun to create, but the time of self-reflection that it takes to write music and the amount of concentration, I think, it draws me in.
A full concert of new works by Adam Shoemaker will take place on Friday night at Kalamazoo College in the Dalton Theater of the Light Fine Arts Building. The composer and the featured pianist are here with me today. So welcome, thanks. Adam, and welcome, Cassandra.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in to WMUK. Adam, I know you as the education director of the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival. Who are you as a composer?
Well, that's part of the reason I'm doing this concert, because I'm trying to get back into who that person as a composer is. I've maintained a lot of small projects throughout the years that have kept me active, but doing something just for myself, my own artistry, has kind of been on the back burner. So, focusing on other things like family and work and, stuff like that. So I saw an opportunity to get a grant through the Arts Council, and I got that grant. And so I put all my energy into completing these large works that have been simmering in my computer for a while that needed to get done. And so here we are.
When did they get put aside? Were they college pieces, or were they works that you started after college?
Actually, a little bit of both. So the feature piece, which is Cassandra's piece, she had asked me to write a piece for her when she was a student of mine at Westerns for a college tour. And I was like, yeah, sure. And so I wrote a little bit, and then I didn't do anything else with it. And and so I was like, well, I really like this music, so I just need to finish this piece. And it ended up turning into not one piece, but a multi-movement piano and little synth solo that ends up clocking in around 30 minutes so far. So,
well, I'd like to hear about how you two got to know each other. You mentioned Cassandra being your student at Western.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew her as a pianist before as a student. So I think, and you can feel free to chime in here, but I was looking for a pianist to perform my musical that I wrote with Christine Iadarosa, called Food Prisons, and we needed a pit band, and so I was looking for a pianist and a drummer, and somebody was like, well, you should really check out Cassandra, she really can play, classical pop, whatever, and I was like, great, I'll see if she can do it, and she did, and I was like, I really like her playing, like, she's, well, I don't know what it is, but I think she plays piano in a way that just really draws me in, so I enjoyed working with her on that, and we just kind of became friends doing that.
And what were you doing here at Western? Studying piano was your focus?
I did a double major in piano performance and music composition in 4 years.
So you too compose?
Yes. And I'm currently getting my master's of music at Roosevelt University in Chicago. So I'm also trying to refocus my attention to composition after a couple year break to work and save money to go get my master's.
Yeah. Now Adam is delivering these pieces for you years later. What does that feel like?
Well, it has been a very surprising and mostly pleasant journey. When I first asked Adam to write for me, I was expecting a little like 5-6 minute piano piece for my tour. And as the movement started coming, more and more started coming. And I was like, wow, this is a much larger project than I envisioned. But I'm excited that it's grown to this magnitude.
Well, why don't we stop and listen to the first of the 6 inspirations?
Correct, yep.
Written for Cassandra Kazor here. What is the title of this first one?
The first one's called Cassandra, Destroyer of Worlds. And it comes from the Greek, actually, the Greek myth. Long story short, It's not really referencing anything to do with Cassandra's personality necessarily up front. But when I was writing these pieces, the inspiration came from a quote on the finance director's door of the Gilmore. And I was doing a lot of budgeting at this time and learning how to do it. And so I spent a lot of time with finance. And on her door is this little quote that I'm sure my boss put there that says, Cassandra, ignored prophet of doom, is the woman of our times. And that has kind of been a funny little connection for this piece, linking it to many different random associations. But that's where the link of Cassandra comes in. I thought that was pleasant coincidence.
Yes.
So.
Well, we're live in the WMUK Takeda studio, and Cassandra Kasor is going to play the inspiration number one, Cassandra, Destroyer of Worlds, by Adam Shoemaker, here on WMUK. We've just heard Cassandra, Destroyer of Worlds. It's the title of the first inspiration for solo piano by Adam Shoemaker, written for pianist and composer Cassandra Kasor. They're both in the studio here at WMUK. Adam's music will be featured in a live performance at Kalamazoo College on January 15th. Music starts at 8 p.m. So, Cassandra, Destroyer of Worlds, I was expecting something more maybe volcanic or something like that. But yeah, I think you drew attention to the ringing resonances of the keyboard beyond the main tone of the or pitch of the key. There was so much space to be able to listen to sounds intermingle in the piece. Is that something that you were attracted to?
I am. I love the idea of, you know, just resonance and kind of the muddiness that sometimes you get and the tones that come out of that that are surprising and also change between performances. So, you know, I tend to do that a lot when I get the opportunity to.
I just wanted to say that something that's so special about this first movement is its sense of timelessness, because the rest of the piece is so heavily rhythmic and very technically intense. So for the kind of curtain opener to be this very spacious, lush introduction, I think is a perfect way to start this huge piece.
And as a pianist, you appreciate that sort of thing.
Very much.
Being able to show contrast and in one piece to really have a showpiece, you want a whole lot of moods and to show your own abilities to
you know, go in a lot of directions.
Yes, definitely. And of course, there are challenges with musical passages that are quiet or slow. There are tons of challenges with that, same way that big virtuosic technical passages are challenging, just in different ways. So I've enjoyed that.
Well, I trust we have a few of those to come.
Yes, no doubt.
Today here at WMUK. I am live in the studio with Adam Shoemaker and Cassandra Kazor. And Adam, I'd like to hear a little more about your influences, other things you like, and other composers that have meant a lot to you in your education and in your becoming a musical person.
Yeah, it's a hard question. I feel like not many things impact me so greatly these days, maybe throughout my whole life. And so I'm always gently encouraged by different sounds that I hear, but there's very few things that have, I guess, made a profound impact. But I'd say post-minimalism has definitely been one of my strongest influences, with the rhythms and the repetitive textures. But I also like the complexities of probably the, if I could say, the free atonal period before, you know, the second Viennese school really got into 12 tone. So I really enjoy that kind of German expressionism, and just the raw motivic arrangement without really connection to tonality or strong, you know, harmonies. So just an exploration of simple, even dare I say simple musical ideas. That's also a strong influence of mine. So somewhere in the middle, we're seeing a connection.
That's
of,
about as opposite as you can right? get.
Right. But I don't know. It's throughout my undergrad that, you know, that kind of early atonality was really, it really impacted me a lot. And then minimalism too. So somewhere along the lines, those two are converging.
Did you have professors at Western that you wrote for and that critiqued you and that had an impact?
Yes. I spent a year with Curtis Smith. And so, you know, being able to study with him was profoundly impactful. And we ended up looking at a lot of his music, which, of course, you know, being able to quiz him about the choices he made and as these pieces, you know, don't even, it was hard to even connect the dots that, you know, this man who I'm taking lessons with wrote this such as great depth of music. And so I was always impressed by that. But I think more so just the attention to detail that he gave each of the pieces I brought in at the time. And the questions he had definitely made me think a lot more about what I wrote and how I wrote it.
You know, just reminded me that Curtis used to tell a story of how the composer John Cage visited Western Michigan University sometime in the 70s. And he had to go out and buy a bunch of, he and Phyllis probably had to buy, buy a bunch of toy pianos. And they did one of Cage's toy piano pieces.
Nice.
And I see propped up on the keyboard here something not too far off from a toy piano.
Yes. It's a little Casio SK1. It was built in 1985. How many keys does it have? I don't even know.
Like, I don't know either. I should know.
Yeah,
They're little tiny keys.
They're little tiny keys. So, you know, easily anybody could grab an octave and a half on that thing with one hand. And it can be battery powered or plugged in. And it was ironically one of the first sampling keyboards, but I don't use that feature for my piece. I just like the tone. I kept it kind of simple. But it's a funny little keyboard because mm-hmm. The internal speaker kind of distorts a little bit when you get too much tone pumping through there. But
so did you have it all the way from 1985?
No. I actually found it at a Goodwill store for $5. I was half off. And I love old vintage retro things and sounds. And so this is part of my own aesthetic jumping into my compositional choices. So when I started this piece, the prelude, of course, was prior to me thinking of the Casio would be in there. So the prelude doesn't have the keyboard mixed in with the grand piano. But the rest of the five movements all have the Casio in there. And it's just something I love. I love those sounds from, you know, 70s and 80s and the old synths.
How did you find out that he was asking you to play a 1985 Casio along with the piano?
I feel like it came up rather close to the beginning. Must have. You must have shared that with me. It's been such a long process working on this piece. I don't know that I can put my finger on it, but ever since I've had the instrument and gotten to play with it, it's been a really fun... That in itself is a challenge as well, to adjust my hand size, to push buttons to switch tones, add or retract vibrato or the portamento effect. And so when I got to play with a new toy, I was thrilled.
So now you're not intimidated when you open a score and you see things that say other than piano.
Oh, definitely not. I think it's really surprising, even at the master's degree level, sharing some pieces that I've written or pieces I'm interested with my peers. And some students are still flabbergasted at notations or different ways of writing music. And I think part of something I care deeply about is showing people that there are lots of ways to write music, hear music, and lots of fun challenges still to be explored in new music.
Okay. Well, I'm ready to hear this second inspiration, the first one that uses this 1985 Casio. Would you introduce this piece?
Yeah, so the second one is called No Real Than You Are. I think that's what it is. I'm checking my notes here. Yep. Such a funny little phrase. You know, I hesitate explaining the whole thing, but it comes from an article I read about this Lego man who was about 5 feet tall, like the little Lego figurines, and they found a 5 foot tall one on a beach. And they had no idea, he just washed ashore from the ocean, you know? And I probably have to check this just to make sure, because it's been a long time since I came up with this one. But I'm pretty sure he had No Real Than You Are written on his, you know, torso or shirt, if you want to look at it that way. And it ended up being an artist, some European country that devised this thing. And there's a whole website that he made. But I thought it was really intriguing, just these little random media associations, things that happen. And again, like, I probably won't tell this at my concert. So if you're listening to this radio interview, this is the only time you'll hear it. But, you know, what does that mean? You know, what does that phrase mean? I have no idea. So what does the piece mean? I don't know, but you can look into it from your own perspective as a listener.
Well, I love a mystery. I love a good mystery, and I really would love to hear the piece now. Cassandra, take it away.
Thank you.
Live in the Takeda studio here at WMUK, we just heard pianist and synth player Cassandra Kazor play one of the inspirations in a suite of inspirations by composer Adam Shoemaker. That one called No Real Than You Are. And if you weren't listening a few minutes ago, we're not going to explain the title. I did write down movies in my notes. Yeah. I couldn't help. I think that sound of a oscillating tone is going to make a lot of people think of 50s sci-fi movies.
Absolutely. And that's again, the other exploration of this whole piece is just the associations we bring to the table. The timbre of that instrument has an effect on people, and it'll be different for each person. But what is that? You know, what does that do for the listener? I don't know, but it's really intriguing to me to try and, you know, ponder on those ideas of what do we bring to the table that affects how we experience a piece.
It seemed like you took care to make the transition from piano sound to electric sound quite seamless in places where one would leave off and the other would begin, but you couldn't always tell. I mean, you made it sound like one instrument in a lot of ways.
And that's how I was trying to view it. So like when I set it up, it was just three staff systems and just viewing it as a singular expression. So try not to think of it separately, I guess. And that was the other thing I had to do because, you know, Cassandra doesn't have a third arm to go play a little synth.
So. I mean, for this piece, it would be great if I did.
some of the transitions in choreography are pretty tight. but yeah, it was fun to kind of imagine it as just an extension of the piano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe an organist wouldn't think this looked too hard at all, you know, with the different keyboards, but... Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried playing organ?
I did, though I was exempt from using the keyboard you play with your feet because I could not reach it because I am 4'10".
I was exempt.
So I did not have to perform with all three manuals at my organ jury.
Well, let's remind listeners that Adam Shoemaker's compositions are featured on Friday at 8 o'clock at Kalamazoo College in the Dalton Theater of the Light Fine Arts Building. Maybe now's a good time to talk about some of the pieces we can't hear today and some of the artists and musicians you're bringing in to perform.
Sure thing. So this Six Inspirations piece will be on the program, and then Cassandra's also playing one of my relaxations, which comes from a previous work. And the other large piece, the main piece, is my piano trio, which, if you were listening earlier, comes back to my time with Curtis Smith, and I was really inspired by his own piano trios and some of the music he wrote. And I guess it's not a direct inspiration or direct relationship, but I was intrigued by the instrumentation. And I had started one back in my master's program. And it's one of those few pieces that I really liked. And so I finished it up for this and most of the other two movements. So there's three movements total. The other two movements came and were written between 2014 and 2015. Whereas the first movement's a little bit earlier than that.
And who will be performing on Friday?
I have put together a little piano trio. Ahmed Anzaldúa will be playing piano. And then we'll have Joanna Steinhauser playing violin and David Peschlakai playing cello.
That's great.
And they're professionals on their instruments, and I love the way they play. And so it'll be really exciting to hear them perform this work.
How will you attract other musicians who don't live in Kalamazoo to play your work? I mean, that's the goal of a composer, is to get their pieces played.
Well, the big push for this concert will actually leave me with a film diversion. And so Public Media Network is streaming the concert, and we're going to take that and turn each piece into its own film diversion with some really high-quality audio. And kind of generating that media content of these pieces will help me be able to be more public with my work. And so as I do more and more of this type of activity, gathering that, you know, those videos and audio, I think will be the primary mode of conveying it to the world, if I can say that.
Now, I know that you said that for a while composition took a back seat to job and family and life.
Absolutely.
When you're working on your compositions and being immersed in this, does that feel like what you should be doing, that you're really at home?
That's a good question. I really do love creating, but I find modes of creativity in other parts of my life, even, I hate to say it, but even doing the budget at work is a somewhat creative task. and, you know, every point in my life, there's always something that's fun to create, but the time of self-reflection that it takes to write music and the amount of concentration, I think, is it draws me in. So I do find it as a strong point of my life, but I do like the versatility of my life, both with, you know, family time and work and, you know, the different activities I involve myself in. I think it keeps me more inspired, if I can say that.
That's great. And this story is not a tragedy.
there's no tragedies. No, I often thought, you know, could I sit and write music all day? Probably not. It'd probably be a bad idea. But if I can balance it or with other parts of my life, or even unbalance it as I write between the hours of, you know, 11 p.m. and 3 a.m., then, you know, it still is it makes me a more complete person.
Well, in the inspiration number one, we heard One Sound World, and then the second, a very different one. What are we going to hear next?
The next one is probably goes back to the first a little bit, but even more calm. And it's called Being in Nothingness. And it's a quiet prayer for self-reflection. Maybe searching. Again, I don't want to tell you what to think. I think you can listen to it and find your own path through it as a listener. Thank you.
That was Cassandra Kazor and music of Adam Shoemaker, a brand new piece written for Cassandra, one of the six inspirations for piano, plus the Casio keyboard that you found at the Goodwill store.
Yes.
The piece was called Being in Nothingness, and you said just let it be.
Don't... Maybe, yeah. Just take it in.
It's really beautiful. I heard an echo of something I thought reminded me of John Adams' Nixon in China. There's a little post-minimalism you mentioned.
And I would completely agree with that. It probably, for all I know, it could be a direct quote because I really do love his music. Do you have experience
with it?
Yes. When I was a student in my undergrad, I was actually part of the St. Louis Youth Orchestra. And we performed the Chairman Dances, which is an excerpt of his opera, Nixon in China. And I played trumpet in that orchestra. And it was, again, one of those pieces super impactful in my life. And I'm just like, what is this crazy music that we're all trying to play? It sounds repetitive, but it's not, you know. And just the harmonies, I often thought of it as a romantic minimalism, you know. So I don't know if that's an actual genre, but I'm going to make it one for now.
Cassandra, what are your thoughts on this piece?
I think it's incredibly beautiful. I remember, actually, as I was reading it for the first time, this had to have been in summer or late fall of 2014 or early 2015. What do you think?
It might have been earlier than that. I don't know.
I was in Chicago in my first apartment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Yeah.
So definitely after April 2014, before now,
okay,
I had gotten a copy of this piece. And I took 2 years off from school, as I mentioned earlier, to work. And because I was having my own kind of compositional crisis at the time. And I remember reading it and just feeling overjoyed at how beautiful and how simple it was. Because I felt like I was constantly inundated with very complex, heady intellectual music for a very long time, and it was such a refreshing sound. And I remember texting Adam and just saying, this is like the most incredible, beautiful thing, and it was perfect for that time for me to be reading through that piece.
Again, Adam, your music is celebrated on Friday at 8 o'clock at Kalamazoo College. It's a name your own admission concert, so people can go for free if they want or leave something behind if they choose.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I'm of the mindset that music is valuable, but I also would like you to experience it and try something. So this piece that we just heard is probably the calm before the storm of the six inspirations, because the fourth, fifth, and sixth movements get a little hairy.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be a lot of different wild sounds at my concert, but also a lot of, I think, very accessible, beautiful sounds too. So, come try it out, see what you think. The other thing is that the concert time itself, it shouldn't be much more than an hour, which will be, I think, a good amount of new music for one to take in. So,
you said you were playing in the St. Louis Youth Symphony. So where did you grow up, Adam?
I actually grew up on the east side of the state of Michigan, so around the Flint, Ann Arbor area, somewhere between there, a little suburb called Fenton. And I went to school near St. Louis for 4 years and then came back and did my master's at Western. So I'm from Michigan, but I went out of state for my undergrad.
And you picked up the trumpet as a young kid.
Yes, trumpet was my first band instrument. They wouldn't let me play the French horn, and I was a little bittered by that. But but I felt I had a good relationship with the trumpet. I still don't. I'm not your stereotypical trumpet player, for good or for bad, but I do enjoy the instrument a lot still.
Mm-hmm. And at some point, probably many years from now, I'm supposed to complete a trumpet piece for Adam in return for his piano piece for me.
Which I will have to practice a lot for.
Yeah. Clearly, yeah, you have some giving back to do.
I do, yes.
Well, I think we're getting close to the end of our time together here today. I'd like to remind listeners that my guests are Adam Shoemaker, composer and pianist and composer, Cassandra Kazor, who is a Western grad as well, currently studying at Roosevelt University in Chicago. What can you leave us with here today?
Well, we do have one more piece to listen to, but I do want to mention the title of the program. So the whole concert's called An Auditory Inconvenience, And I'd like to credit my friend Jacob Koha for helping me come up with that one, because, again, playing with the idea of serious and not serious, or what you actually take from a piece of music, I do want people to approach all these pieces, which are serious to me, with a light heart and some flexibility. So be inconvenienced and come take a listen.
Do you have anything you'd like to say before we go?
I think it's going to be a fantastic experience for listeners. I'm excited to bring what we've worked on for the last couple of years to the public. And I think Adam's music is fantastic, and I think people need to hear it.
Do you like to keep up your connection to musicians and the community here in Kalamazoo?
I do. I have moved to Chicago since my graduation, but I love coming back here, seeing familiar faces. This art scene is fantastic, and I think it was integral to helping me develop as an artist and be ready to try and face a big city with the same dreams that I had here. So,
yeah. So what are you going to leave us with?
We're going to listen to Relaxation Number 4. And this came from a time where I wrote some music for a hospital bed that was developed by Stryker. And so the fourth relaxation is a shorter one from the... And it is the last one that I wrote for this specific project. But I love the idea of a kind of, dare I say, new agey piece. Not one to connect myself with New Age, but it has those notions.
Did you say you wrote it for a bed?
For a hospital bed, yes. So somewhere there's an intensive care unit bed that has this song on it. I don't plan on finding out about that, but yeah, it's there. So
just like a Lego man floating through the ocean,
yes,
this bed has a song in it.
Yeah, and there's probably multiple beds out there, but you know, I don't know how many. And this is, one of four that I wrote, and probably one of my favorites. And so I thought it'd be a nice dessert for the end of the concert.
Well, thank you for sharing it with us here at WMUK. And I hope you'll come back again with more wonderful new music anytime.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
In the studio at WMUK, that's pianist Cassandra Kazor playing the Relaxation No. 4 by Kalamazoo composer Adam Shoemaker. Today we heard a few of Adam's works that will be presented in concert Friday night at Kalamazoo College in the Dalton Theater of the Light Fine Arts Building. More details are online at adamshoemaker.wordpress.com. Shoemaker is spelled S-C-H-U-M-A-K-E-R.